consecutive time in the last six seasons, the Dutch are the champions.
This is Gary O'Neill to win it.
They've got it! Terrific header, Callum Robinson, super ball in.
Great feeling, we have to treasure these nights.
Hello and welcome from James O'Toole here. Welcome to the RTE Soccer Podcast. Obviously, all the adults have left the room and they've left me in charge. But luckily enough, I have a couple of veterans to guide me through it all with Johnny MacDonald, former St. Pat's player and manager. And of course, Cork City legend John Caulfield. And later on, we'll be joined by the new Bohemian COO, Daniel Lambert. So guys, how are you doing today? How are you doing, John and Johnny?
Great.
Good afternoon, James. All good.
It's nice and wet down in Cork, James.
It's all lovely and wet. The weather's definitely taking a turn for the worse.
I was down in Kerry last week. It was lovely and sunny, John. It only rains in Cork.
That's absolutely awful. Hopefully, lads, you've had a good week anyway. But first off, let's just get straight into this. We're going to look back at yesterday's game in Richmond Park between St. Pat's and Shamrock Rovers. And we'll get some reaction firstly from the Shamrock Rovers manager, Stephen Bradley.
We obviously completely dominated the game. And on another day, we could be two or three up at halftime. Graham has one or two chances. Second half, they made some really good blocks. But overall, I thought we were fantastic.
Did it make it awkward after the sending off that they withdrew a striker and just extra men in that midfield?
Look, I think they were like that all game, to be fair. I think they tried to have a little press early on, but after that it was sitting their own half, you know, and it was up to us to try and break them down. And like I said, at times we got in, our play was really good, we got crossing the box, just the finishing touch wasn't there today.
And is that the only disappointment? Because the performance, as you said, was quite dominant.
Yeah, that's the only disappointment. We had a lot of chances in the game, especially first half. Second half, to be fair to them, they've made some good blocks. But overall, I think we were excellent. The only disappointing thing is we didn't score the goal.
Stephen, eventful one. No goals, but does that go down as a pretty heroic Pat's point in the end?
Yeah, I thought we dug in really well. You know, obviously going down to 10 so early in the second half. You're up against it a bit, especially against a good team that, you know, moved the ball real well and have technical footballers. But I couldn't ask any more, as I said to the boys in there, with their honesty of effort and their intensity and their integrity. So, you know, ultimately, when you go down to 10 men at that stage, you would have taken a point. And, you know, it's a point gained, I suppose. But we know we still have to be better in lots of aspects in regards to us in possession, etc. But all in all, like, I'm very proud of them.
You made an interesting decision when you went down to 10. You withdrew Georgie Kelly, went without a striker as such, and went 4-5-0. So that worked out for you in the end?
Yeah, I just felt that, you know, if you sort of maybe kept it 4-4-1, they'd have a lot of joy and it really would overload you in the middle of the pitch. So we went with two sort of sidemen with a view to countering them then, you know, any time we did regain possession with Billy and Jordan. And didn't happen those, but even Jordan and Billy that came on, you know, were brilliant in regards digging in. And, you know, we've technical footballers that might have been too enjoyable digging in, but sometimes you have to do it, and they really showed that honesty of effort and application, so we're delighted.
Johnny Mack, I'm going to start with you on this as a former St. Pat's manager. Stephen's comments there. You've heard managers suggest before that it can be harder to play against 10 men. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think, you know, it can be sometimes. But if you plan, you know, sometimes you've got to plan your at the start of the season or when you come back, if you play against 10 men or if you lose a player yourself. Or, you know, so I think Stephen had a decision made already in his head, you know, that the way he was going to play, and the players obviously were well able to adapt to it, that it wasn't just off the cuff. But it can be... It's difficult to play against 10 men, but you know, the decision Stephen made was the right decision, because it was someone, you know, after 50 minutes or so and get a result out of the game against a fantastic Shamrock Rovers team. And I think he made the right decision, because he got the right result in the end.
And do you reckon the narrow pitch at Richmond, does that help the defending team when you're down to 10 men?
I don't think the pitch is narrow, James, at Richmond. Maybe it looks narrow, but it's a proper dimensions. I don't. Maybe it's an optical illusion, but it's not a narrow pitch at Richmond. It meets all the standards. teams can make it narrow. I know in years past, maybe some of the managers might have brought the pitch in a little bit, but no, it's up to the dimensions, proper dimensions. And I just think Pat's made it really, really difficult, and I think Stephen was right by playing the five across the, you know, the lads across the middle, so they wouldn't be outrun, and they made it nice and narrow for themselves. So I'd have to pull you up on that one, James. It's not a narrow pitch.
And John, as a manager's going in this, top of the league, they go down to 10 men. There's a bit of pressure on you to come out with the 3 points. like from your own personal point of view, when you were managing, how would you have set about that?
Yeah, but I think like Johnny said, James, you plan, you know, occasions when you'll play against 10 or vice versa, when you'll be down to 10. So, you know, you can see quite clearly Stephen O'Donnell had that plan because he made the changes instantly when Griffin got sent off. So, you know, you prepare for those situations. I think it was one of those ones where, for Shamrock Rovers' point of view, you know, it looked to me that they were sort of in second gear in the first half. You know, they came out early at the start of the second half. It was like as if Stephen Bradley was after telling them, come on, lads, get out there and get your act together. And the first 5 minutes of the second half, they upped the intensity, they upped the tempo, and they were straight at the juggler. And the sending off really affected Rovers, I felt, because in 11v11, they were on top at the start of the second half. And, you know, it can be difficult because psychologically within a team, you're dominating, and Rovers are brilliant on the ball and they play a beautiful system. And, you know, you imagine the goal is going to come. And but the longer the game went on, you know, Pat's dug in, which is, you know, unlike Pat's over the last number of years, you know, people have said they've fallen away easily. But yesterday they really dug in, and, you know, there was a clever move. Faruga was causing lots of problems on the first half down the left-hand side. They took off Tito at half-time, and he threw Feely out to right-back, and Feely was brilliant in his block, and his defending was outstanding, along with many other players. But it was just one of those days that the longer it went on, Rovers were trying to be patient, but they couldn't find the breakthrough. And you know, fair play to Pats, it was a great point for them.
Yeah, Johnny, we spoke about Rovers a couple of weeks ago on this podcast, where myself and yourself suggested they'll go unbeaten for the whole season. But in the last 2 weeks, we've seen Derry be very dogged against them. We've seen Pats being very dogged against them. Do you think teams are getting to know which way they're playing and how to nullify them more than try even break away from them?
Yeah, I would agree, James. I was up in Derry last week. I watched them against Derry. And like what John said, against Derry for most of the match, they were only in second or third gear as well. And I think you're right. I think teams are starting to drop off, not leave them any space in behind, and try and play on the counter-attack. But in saying that, I agree with Stephen Bradley. I thought yesterday was probably one of the better performances since they came back, even though they are still unbeaten. And yes, they'll have to find a way, but they still had a lot of chances. Some great blocks by McNally and stuff off the line. As you said, and Feely playing really well. Pat's defending really well. But yeah, teams definitely start to learn to play. To play deep against them, but the amount of possession that Shamrock Rovers do have, and the way they can move the ball, and you know that final pass that the Jack Bourne has, that can open up defences, they will create opportunities. And I think the word you used there was patient. I think they'll be very, very patient. And against Derry last week up in the Brandywell, that's what they've done. They were very patient and they got the late goals. So look, yeah, I think that's they won't play any other way, James. I think that's the way they're going to play at the end of the season.
John, you were in a position a couple of years ago. You went on a massive unbeaten run in the league. Does pressure come on a manager when you're so far ahead and you're trying to open up a gap? Is it a different type of pressure that Stephen Bradley be under now?
It is, James, because, you know, I suppose no different than Rovers at the moment. That time for Cork, you know, we went 11 in a row and drew our 12th, and then we went, you know, 121 out of 22, and we opened the league and we had never won the league. And you know, that pressure, because obviously we'd gone ahead of Dundalk at the time, and they were the main team. And you know, you were just, I suppose, everyone's every week on TV and saying, oh, the league is over, the league is over. And you know, at that time for us, obviously Maguire moved on, but at the same time it is in the head and it does get into the players. And I suppose, you know, everyone has been saying, you know, that, you know, Shamrock Rovers are a fantastic team, and you know, certainly I believe they'll win the league this year. But at the same time, you know, they have opened the gap. It's a short league. Dundalk have been dropping points, and you know, people have been saying, you know, you're going to win the league. And you know, does it get into players' heads? Of course it does. And it's a different pressure because, you know, for Stephen, you know, he has never won a league, and you know, brilliant to win the cup last year. And you know, he's built a fantastic team, but it's, you know, teams are putting it up to him. And you know, you look at yesterday's match, the first couple of minutes, Aaron Green had a beautiful chance to score. If he puts them one up, they go on probably and win the match, you know. And then it became one of those games where Pat's dug in. So, and every team at the moment are going to, you know, are going to play Rovers with a situation where they're going to defend deep, they're going to try and keep things very, very tight. And you know, there is a challenge in that, and there's a challenge for Stephen. But you know, as Johnny said, they are very patient. They got the two late goals in Derry last week, nearly pulled it off again yesterday. But at the same time, it is a challenge, and you know, in the back of Stephen Bradley's head, in the back of the players' head, while everyone is saying they're going to win the league, they still haven't won the league, and there's still a lot of soccer to be played yet, you know.
Very true. Johnny, have they won the league?
I would stand over. I definitely think they will. I think Bohemians chasing them. We all know what Keita, the fantastic job Keita's done there. But I just think they've enough to stay ahead. I think the pressure will come on them in the final, in the home straight. But it's how they deal with the pressure. Stephen is there. He hasn't won leagues before, as John said. He's a young coaching group around him as well. You know, there's lads there that probably haven't been in this situation before. How they handle that will go down into the dressing room and onto the pitch. So they need to be careful how they handle that. And, you know, with the old cliche, but they just need to take every game and just go and do what they're doing. I see them scoring lots of goals. They've scored 20 goals already this season. And they've only conceded 6, so you know they're tight enough at the back. So look, I think they deal with the pressure. It's a brilliant opportunity for them to go on and win the league, and I think they still will go on and win the league. To answer your question, James.
Well, that's almost a perfect segue as we go into the next game of the weekend, which was just 24 hours earlier in a sun-drenched Finn Park, which St. Pat's fans were definitely missing out on last Monday night. But it's Bohemians versus Finn Harps. That was Saturday afternoon in Finn Park, and we got the thoughts of Keith Long after the game.
Yeah, we would have taken a 1-0 win coming up here today. Tough first half performance was really good. Possibly should go in, maybe another goal up at half time. Had to dig in second half and ride a little bit of luck towards the end. You know, Finn Harps throw bodies forward. They're a big team, and you know, we needed to deal with that. And I thought we did. We kept another clean sheet, which is positive for us. And it's a good 1-0 win for us.
Well, John Caulfield, you've gone up to Finn Harps many times over the last couple of years and had difficult games up there. But it's a good result for Keith Long, isn't it?
Keith and Trevor, you know, they have a proper team. They good lads, boys. You know, they've been building for a number of years. Very solid. They can play it both ways. They can play long ball if it suits them. They can play it short. And but again, they're in the ideal position. It was a tough game, and always is tough in Finn Harps. Obviously, Finn Harps have only scored 3 goals, so that tells its own story that they just can't score goals. But you know, it was a great finish by Grant, and you know, Bose. You know, they're a hard team, they battle well, and they're in the ideal position because, you know, everyone talks about Rovers and Dundalk. Bose are still hanging in there, but you know, and they've a number of lads on the bench who can come in and do a great job. But I suppose, look at in the bigger picture, challenging for the league, you know, they can just hang in there and keep things but would they be good enough to pip Rovers? You know, Rovers have scored 20 goals, Bose have scored 10, and I think that probably tells it that, you know, that Bose don't score lots of goals, but they are a very solid and they're a very good team.
Johnny Mack, real contenders?
Well, they're there on merit. I agree with John, they're there on merit. They're solid. You heard what Keith said, kept a clean sheet. You'd have been happy enough for a 1-0. I've won leagues, you know, winning games 1-0 and 2-1, you know, and you know, you look at Man City and teams like them that can't keep clean sheets and can't defend properly at every level. You need to be able to defend as well as attack, and I think Bowers have a good mix of that. And it was a really good win for them going up to Finn Harps, as you know, a difficult place, James. And as I said, another clean sheet. They're equipped, they have a good balance of players as well, and the goals come from all over the place also, which can help. But Rovers, yeah, when they're looking behind them, will it be Bowes chasing them or Dundalk? If it's Dundalk, they know Dundalk inside out, but Bowes are always a bit of a bogey team for Shamrock Rovers over the last 4 or 5 seasons, so they'll want to keep that gap at 4 or 5 points.
And John, for Ollie Horgan, obviously it's they're the only club not to gain any points so far since we've restarted at the end of July. This is a struggle that's going to last all season for him, isn't it? Well, even though it is only a short season.
It is, really. And you look at Ollie, I think he's the longest serving manager with one club in the league. And, you know, he's done wonders up in Finn Harps, part-time team. And he's always pulling players out of everywhere, you know. But he has struggled, really, to get a goal scorer. And, you know, he obviously has been working very hard to try and get someone in. But, you know, it's been difficult. And, you know, with only 3 goals. And you look at the other day against... But they did very well. They were very solid, and you know they did well, but you know, creating chances, a couple of half chances, but never really looked like scoring. And you know, but at the same time, the one thing about Ollie and Harps is that they're used to fighting every year. They're used to being in those scenarios. And you know, while people are saying they're going to go down, you know, last Monday night they beat Pats in the cup. So you know, the one thing about them, they'll keep hanging in there, keep fighting there. And you know, you couldn't write them off just yet, but it's certainly, you know, scoring goals is an issue for them, you know.
And it has been for a couple of years. But you said the pitch in Finn Park probably looked the best it has been on Saturday afternoon. But they seem to have sorted the back a little bit. They seem stronger at the back. Would you agree?
Well, yes. They have, you know, Webster was a great signing for them. They brought Stephen Folan in. They have Todd and the other foreign boys. The back four are very solid, and McGinley in goal. So, you know, they have been... defensively, they've done very well. It's just that, I suppose, you know, Delap is a winger, Carl O'Sullivan is a winger. Mm. You know, they have Ryan Connolly sort of playing at 10, another good player. But they just, you know, they've lost that boy lad who went abroad at the end of the year, and he always seemed to pick them up 6 or 7 goals. Raf has come in, you know, but he's had a lot of injuries, and obviously he's on the end of his career. So, you know, they just need to see can they find someone that can get a few goals from. But you know, I suppose the problem is it's hard. You can't bring in any players now with the transfer window unless they're an out of contract professional, and so it is difficult for them. But you know, the one thing I suppose Finn Harps were always very good at was, and they got lots of goals over the years, was a set plays, corners, frees, throw ins, and you know, they haven't been scoring from those positions, you know, in the last 3 or 4 games. So, you know, it's probably an area where, you know, they were always dominant and always got goals over the years in those positions. So maybe it's an area that they probably need to refocus and do more work on, because they have a very tall team.
Well, you two lads have obviously stood on the bench and had words with each other before, and on the pitch and maybe off the pitch as well. But the problem with no fans in the ground is that we can hear everything Ollie Horgan says. And Johnny, again, his passion comes true on Saturday afternoon, and he sent off, I'm probably going to say, not for the last time this season. But that's the kind of frustration he has there when things aren't going their way.
You can understand, you know, when you're given 100%, and I'm sure all the lads, you know, the whole group, the team, the subs, everyone's given 100%, and when things are not just going for you, it can be very frustrating. But they need him around the bench, you know, they need his energy, they need his enthusiasm, they need his encouragement around, they need his knowledge. And, you know, he'd be missed by being sent off. But just looking at, you know, they've 13 goals conceded, so they're still conceding goals, but they only scored 3. But he beat Sligo and he drew away to Derry. So if they can keep, just going back to what you were talking about, hanging in there, if they can keep on the coattails of Cork and Sligo, and it depends who's above them then, it could be Derry or Shells, coming right up to the end of the season, you know, Dana, as John said, they know how to do it. They've hung on for the last few years. But look, they miss Ollie from the bench, and they need him around.
John, we've obviously seen how good a job that Keith Long and Trevor Crawley have done with Bowes before this season. Is it a case that nobody had an eye on them, is how they've got to where they are? Like, even last week when people were talking about, oh, Shamrock Rovers are 8 points ahead of Dundalk, nobody mentioned they were only 3 points ahead of Bowes. Is that a credit to what Keith's doing?
Yeah, absolutely. And the lads have been brilliant at recruiting young players and players coming back from the UK, and you know they're doing massive work and great contacts to get so many of these lads and talented lads, and you know, getting to restart their careers in lots of cases, you know. But you know, the one thing you always get with Keith and Trevor, they work so hard. They work 24/7, and as a manager in this league, that's what you have to do. And you know, they've been in a couple of cup semi-finals. I know Cork beat them in 2018. I know Rovers beat them last year in the semi-final. So they've been knocking on the door. And, you know, they qualify for Europe. So it's not like as if they've sprung up overnight. They have been solid for 3 or 4 years. I suppose the difference, James, is that, you know, when people talk about winning the league, you know, is have they just that extra bit to go on and win the league? They're still there. You know, it's if they keep knocking 1-0 wins every week and bringing into the last 4 or 5 games, anything could happen in the short league. But I just think that, you know, because obviously Dundalk and the experience of the Dundalk team, everyone felt that they would be the challenges to Shamrock Rovers, and I believe that as well. But I still think that, you know, the lads have done a brilliant job at Bowes, and you know, but they're well in there, you know. But you know, if you're asking me, do I think they'll win the league? I think they don't score enough goals probably to win the league. But still, you know, as Johnny will tell you, if they keep winning 1-0, get into the last four or five games, it's the nerves and the pressure is on, anything can happen, you know.
And speaking of teams, they're finding it very hard to score goals or even get wins at the moment. Saturday afternoon in Talca Park, Shelburne took on Derry City, a 1-1 draw. Ibrahim Mite getting his first goal for Derry in 29 minutes. Ryan Brennan with the equaliser on 77. They're really up and down, Johnny, aren't they? Shelburne and Derry, both of them they get a good result and then they seem to falter in the next game.
Yeah, I would agree with both teams, and you know, a win will bring them up to, you know, Shelburne on 10 points. You know, another win brings them up into third or fourth, like a loss then, and you know, Cork can overtake Shelburne in the next game or so, you know. But I think there's inconsistency with young players, especially at Shells. Ian is a problem up front, you know. Carl Shepherd there, as John would know, an experienced, fantastic lad, great player down through the years. But I think there's a big gulf between him and the likes of Aaron Dobbs, who's not a prolific goal scorer, and they just need to find someone who's going to chip in with the goals every week. They're well organised, as I said, they're up there with 10 points. But just a little bit of inconsistency, and they done well the other night to come back against Derry. It was a good delivery, and Ryan Brennan has done well for them this season. I think it's a couple of goals already start. It was a good header, and but Derry is fairly similar. Seen, as I said, against Shamrock Rovers, well organised, well disciplined, just ran out of steam at the end, and they were also beaten by Sligo recently as well. But they're going out to talk maybe, and probably thought they were going to get the 3 points, but might be just happy enough to come away with the point. But both teams very inconsistent.
Yeah, John, as Johnny said there, you obviously had Carl Shepherd when you were at Cork. He's not a natural striker, is he, realistically? He's more of a right winger who comes in and adds goals to it. Now, he had a couple of good chances the other night to put Shelburne ahead before they obviously went down. But that seems to be the problem, isn't it? Kilduff and Shepherd just not really linking up as prolifically as you'd like at this stage.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Shepherd did unbelievable for me in Cork, and he had been centre forward. He ended up on sort of playing right or left wing for me in the good years when we had Maguire and Dooley and these lads, and he did fantastic. But I think, you know, as Johnny is saying, Kilduff has come back in and you know, has been noted to get lots and lots of goals. But it's been you know, they had young Dobbs, they've had young Cabia. They played Rooney out up there on the wing. So it's like as if Ian, at the minute, is unsure about his best 11. Certainly across the back, he's keeping it consistent, and obviously with Deegan in midfield. But he seems to be chopping and changing a little bit up top. And, you know, they have only scored 6 goals, and they have been inconsistent. I saw them in the opening day going way back when they beat Cork 1-0 in Turner's Cross. And, you know, I thought they were, you know, that you could see that night, from an attacking point of view, they just were struggling. So they've a lot of work to do. But look, I suppose from Ian's point of view, his first year up, it's keep the team in the division. You know, is the third and fourth spot open for Europe? Of course it is. But at the same time, the main thing for him this year is to make sure that he stays out of the relegation zone and build on that. But I think maybe that, you know, I still feel that if Kilduff plays up top and Shepherd plays on the wing, you know what I mean, they'll have more of a goal threat. But you know, it has been a problem for them that they have been a bit inconsistent, you know.
Johnny, you mentioned you've seen Derry a couple of times now, and you were up in the Brandywell last week. It's set pieces at Derry, isn't it, that's causing them the problem?
Yeah, they conceded against Sligo as well. They conceded from a corner, just normal ball into the box, should have been dealt with easy enough. And you know, they got done against Sligo as well from set pieces, and conceded, I think, a penalty on that match also. But again, it's lack of concentration and just communication around the pitch, and young players and that little bit of experience. But sometimes you just need to, you know, we all want to score goals, but as I said earlier, sometimes you need to focus on a week's training on defending, where we defend, how we defend, who defends. And if that's from the front into midfield and into the last third and into the box, and we don't concede goals, well, that might be as important as doing your attacking sessions or your attack from wide or midfield through the middle or whatever. You know, if that's a problem and it's staring you right in the face, sometimes you just have to address it. It's not rocket science, and sometimes you just need to address it.
Yeah, and speaking of addressing not rocket science, Cork City versus Sligo Rovers, that was on Friday. 3-0 win for Cork, very, very convincing win, coming off the back of what was a very, very long night on during the week in the FAI Cup, with a goal obviously in the last minute of the game to win that one against Longford. Deshaid Darling on 35 minutes, Kit Elliott with his debut goal in 77, and Ricardo Dinanga with his second goal in the week on the 90th minute. John, I'm sure that brought a couple of smiles eventually to Lee side, did it?
Absolutely. You know, I think, you know, everyone is frustrated and the way things have gone, and, you know, it's been, you know, compared to where the club had been, and, you know, the free fall to go from so many highs for a number of years down to the bottom, and you endanger relegation. So the match the other night was unfortunately, we didn't see it on TV because of the technical problems.
Don't bring it up, John, please stay away from that.
But at the same time, look, I've saw the goals after, but it was one of those ones where, you know, Sligo, it seemed, had two games on the bounce, had won. It seemed as though they had the injuries cleared up, they were back, and they had played very well against Shelburne, and, you know, like City were on their knees, had got the draw the week before against Waterford, beat Longford, luckily, during the week in the Cup, and it looked like, you know, it was made for Sligo to win, but, you know, it was absolutely fantastic. Neil brought in a couple of strikers, and they did really, really well. They changed their style of play. They played a lot more direct and played off the front guys, and, you know, it was a really convincing win, and all of a sudden, you know, in 7 days from total doom and gloom, you know, all of a sudden City have picked 4 out of 6 points in the league and the next round of the Cup. So, you know, the team have got a bit of confidence, and, you know, and they go this week away to Derry, and all of a sudden, from, you know, everyone saying that they're going to be in the relegation battle, they could be halfway up the table. So it just shows you how quick it can turn. But certainly there's a little more confidence within the team at the moment. And it's great because, look, at the end of the day, you know, whether people around the country like Cork or don't like Cork, you need Cork City there because it's a brilliant club and brilliant supporters. And, you know, they need to be, you know, up in the top half of the league, you know.
Johnny, pressure obviously on Neil Fenn coming into this week. But he's shown, like, it's an unusual situation because some of the players he's brought in have had to go through their two weeks of quarantine. They haven't trained with the team, and now they're starting to filter into the team, which has probably seen these results over the last week.
Well, first of all, I don't think Neil does pressure. He's a very cool guy, you know. He's nice and relaxed, and he's a good way about him that way, and that might reflect at the players sometimes. But look, more, as John said, a big week for them, but more importantly, like, got three goals, and as a coach, as a manager, to be sitting there, you know what I mean, and know the game is wrapped up and over, you know, after, you know, maybe 75 or 80 minutes, and now they got a late one as well. But them three goals going in, like, I know they've only scored four, but that's a big relief for them. And going up to Derry, you know, having that little bit of firepower that you can say, well, maybe we can get a few goals, will definitely give them the confidence going up to Derry. And in normal circumstances as well, you'd say, well, if a Cork team wasn't doing too well, and then they pick up for a week or so, you'd get a big crowd coming the next week, and I think John also talking about, and the crowd could get behind them, so they might miss out on that one.
Yeah, they may miss out on that, but if Neil Fenn's reaction to the goal in the FAI Cup is anything to go by, they don't really need the crowd there to get them G'd up for a game, John, do they?
Well, like, in fairness, Neil is a good lad, and he's composed. But look at the pressure that was on, you know, down here with the Cup game last week, and, you know, obviously Neil being with Longford before, but there was huge pressure on Neil, and I think his celebration showed that no matter how calm he was, he knew inside him that he was excited because it was a huge win. But look, as Johnny said, the most important thing is, look, there had only been one goal scored in the league in 7 matches, and then they get 3 the other night, bring in 3 new strikers, you know, so straight away he has options, and it looks like, you know, both of them played very well the other night, Fennick and Elliott. So from that point of view, you're going, you know, wins gives you confidence, scoring goals gives you confidence, and you know, City hopefully from our point of view, have turned the corner, and that they'll move up the table quickly. But at the same time, it was only one win, so we'll have to wait. We'll have to wait and see how the Derry game goes. But definitely, there's definitely a lot more optimism, a lot more confidence in the air over the last week.
Yeah, Johnny, from a Sligo point of view as well, you're pretty much kicking yourself because they started the game very, very well, and Jesse Divers had a great chance to put them ahead before the first goal from Darling. But they've got off to a great start since the start of this. They've bet Derry at home, they bet Shelburne as well, or Derry away and Shelburne at home. So they're off to a good start already.
Yeah, look, they bounced back into the season really, really well. And they've the match in hand also against Waterford with the game that was called off. So whether that's a plus or a minus, I don't know. We'll talk about Waterford later. But, Liam's teams, they can only play one way. And, it was a big knock for them to go down there and concede the three goals. They've conceded 12 goals already this season. But look, they're going to be down there. They're going to be hanging in around, with Cork and Finn Harps and whoever else is down there with that three at this present time. And as I said, Liam only knows one way to play. Play out the back, play through the towards and try and get nice goals and stuff like that. That might not be enough to keep you in the league. And when you're coming down to the last couple of games of the season, you might have to change the style of play.
And that's another great segue. Speaking about Waterford, let's look back to their game on Friday as well. Dundalk versus Waterford in Oriel Park. Obviously finished 2-2 with Hoban and Cleary digging it out for the Lily Whites after Matthew Smith put Waterford ahead in the 24th minute. Curtis Byrne scoring against his old club in the 50th, but it was a changing of Alistair Coote's red card in the 78th minute to kind of put them against them. And we have some reaction from the managers now.
You had a few words at the end as well with Vinnie Perth. What was that about?
Who?
Vinnie, the other manager.
Vinnie
Perth, yeah.
Oh, is that his name? Yeah, Vinnie Perth, right. Yeah, he's just, I don't know what he was going on about. He needs to worry about his own team.
Finally, ask you about the scenes at the end. There was some words exchanged with yourself and the other manager,
yeah,
John Sheridan.
Look, I'm a League of Ireland fan. I think I have been for a long, long time. Just some comments are disrespectful towards our league, which I heard, and I don't like them. They came from John, amazing player. I remember watching him in the World Cup, but this isn't a public. This isn't the shambles of a league, and them comments aren't good enough. And whatever about me, and you can have a smart comment about where I stand in terms of the club and the pressure I'm under. But this isn't a pub league. This is a very good league, great people in it, and I won't have anyone disrespecting League of Ireland. It's too important, and you've got to have a bit more class than you about that, in my opinion.
Johnny, a bit more class than that. Is this what we hear managers do all the time? Is there always a bit of banter on the sidelines between managers, or is this someone just going a bit too far?
Look, I don't know what John said, but obviously the reports are coming in. He obviously was a bit annoyed after the match, and being a bit disrespectful. Vinnie Hill, I think that was a bit personal and a bit disrespectful, but I'm sure Vinnie gave as good as he got, it's not a pub league, definitely not a pub league, and I think John should recognise that. Things are said in the heat of the moment, and maybe sometimes things are just probably left on the pitch or left in dressing rooms as well, but we're definitely not a pub league. We've competed really, really well in Europe over the last 10 years or so, and I just want to say to John Sheridan that we definitely aren't a pub league.
John Caulfield, you've obviously been on the bench in Dundalk and seen Vinny, and at the time your assistant manager, have words on the touchline as well. But is this a manager going too far, or are we blowing this out of all proportion?
Yeah, I think on this one that, and as I said, we don't know the exact thing. Certainly we know the interview that he gave to Tony and what he said about Vinny. But, there has been always words between benches, but I think, John in reflection has to look at this, and it probably, the comment even about Vinny showed probably an ignorant streak. You're representing a club like Waterford, you're representing a club with fantastic support, and he has to answer his own questions, but at the same time it was distasteful, and I think that you would expect John, who would have been obviously held in high esteem as a player and an Irish player, and part of those great teams and the crowds following them, and you know, obviously his parents are from Dublin, and you would expect that. I think that, you know, on reflection, I'm sure, you know, that I think if he came out and he apologised, I think afterwards, and said that, you know, maybe he overstepped the mark, fair enough. But look, he has to answer to the club, he has to answer to the supporters of Waterford. That's who he represents. So if they're happy to take that, you know, and hear those comments, well, you know, but I would think that it was totally over order.
Let's get back onto the actual football. Dundalk obviously dropping more points. And really having to grab it out of the bag, Johnny. Finney actually said in another interview that the team needs fixing and it's up to them to fix themselves. What do you think of that?
Well, they obviously have a plan and a way of playing. And I mean, that's very open-ended. They have to fix it themselves. So, it's, you know, that's like saying to you, as a good player, is going out and play. Surely, you know, as a coach, as a manager, and I'm sure they have, obviously, you have a detailed plan of what you do, how you do it, and how we attack, how we defend. So that's a little bit open-ended. Like, you know, maybe he wanted to say a little bit more, and but that's just the way it came out. But no, they need to stick to the plan. And I just watched them against Pats that night. There just seems to be a little bit of spark on out with them, a little bit of energy, and they've been doing this for the last 4 or 5 years or whatever, and they've been doing it fantastically well. And Vinny's come in and he's done brilliant with them. And sometimes you just go through a little period of where things just drop off a little bit, and look, they're still there. You know, they're obviously 8 points off for Shamrock Rovers at the moment, but, you know, they're still there fighting for places in Europe and still fighting for the league. But just a little bit open-ended comment by Vinny. You know, if I was a player, you'd be asking, what did he mean by that and stuff. So maybe that stuff should be kept again for the dressing room.
And speaking of in their heads, John, you know, this coming up into European games, same as Johnny, actually, but we'll put this to John. You need a good run of form coming into Europe, don't you? And I know this has been an odd league, but we're back to playing. But at least when they go out on Wednesday night, their opposition, NK Sheldon, which is live on RT2 on Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. kickoff, they haven't been playing because their league has been cancelled for the first two weekends due to a COVID-19 case. But you need form going into these games, do you not?
Well, I think if you look at it in the bigger picture, when, you know, going back a couple of months ago, Dundalk were one of the four teams that were back training a month ahead of everyone else. Waterford were one of the last teams back, and if you looked at the performance on Saturday, you know, there didn't seem to be any difference in the fitness levels, and so that dispelled all that rubbish. But the one thing I'd say at the moment is, and Johnny's hit it there, sometimes you get into a spell where guys just aren't clicking for some reason. You know, is there a complacency, you know, and sometimes it's hard to put your finger on it. But the one big worrying thing for Dundalk at the moment is that the amount of goals they're conceding. Like, they've conceded 9 goals so far, which means that there's 5-6 teams in the Premier Division have conceded less. And Dundalk never conceded goals. They were always built on really solid defences. So definitely that's an area where, you know, they're giving up chances. And even against Waterford the other night, you're looking at the goals that were conceded. They really were soft goals. And you know, the very experienced team. You've Gannon and Matthew and Gary Rogers. You've Hoare and Young Cleary. And they've all been around winning cups and leagues and playing in Europe. So, you know, that is probably the biggest concern, that they've given up soft goals the week before too against Bowes as well. So I think, you know, going into Europe, would you like to be in better form? You would. But at the same time, you know, it's a different competition. It's hugely important to Dundalk, you know, with the investors and the owners. You know, they want progression in Europe. So it is a massive tie. And certainly you would prefer if you were in better form. But look, at the same time, is they have huge amount of experience, Dundalk have. And maybe it's this is the type of game that they need to get themselves going, because, you know, the league is slipping away. So they need to get back on track very quickly. And maybe the European game is the one that, you know, if they got the win on Wednesday night, could be the one to kick them on, you know.
Johnny, it's obviously an odd European game because it's a winner takes all.
Yeah, but it won't be easy. You know, Slovenian teams are decent enough. They'll have some really good players. And I know you said he haven't been playing. I've played out there a few times, international level with the Faroes, but also with Shells a couple of times. And they'll be a decent team. They'll be hard to get something out of this for Dundalk, I reckon.
Johnny and John, I'm going to ask you now, do Dundalk progress on Wednesday? Johnny?
It's going to be very, very difficult, James, to be honest, in the form that I see them in at the moment. We don't know too much about the Slovenians, and as I say, they haven't played. It's going to be a difficult tie for them. I'd be surprised if they come out, but I hope they do.
And John?
Yeah, I think, like Johnny, the only thing I would say, James, in their favour is that they have been used to these games, and while in our own league they have been complacent and they just haven't hit the heights that we would expect it. You know, this could be the game where hopefully that it will happen, because they have the players that can do it. But look, at the same time, as Johnny says, every game in Europe is always very, very, very tight. But look, let's keep our fingers crossed that they do go through, you know.
We're going to move on now. We actually have a man on the line who's just got himself a new role, from volunteering at the club and making sure bums are on seats to now making sure bums are in the air on the aircraft flying off to Europe. We're joined by Daniel Lambert, the new Bose CEO. Daniel, welcome.
Thanks a million, James. Cheers.
How's the new role going?
I don't start until the 1st of September. But well, like most things, it's begun already, obviously. So we're planning for Europe. So it's, it wouldn't look, there's some new elements, but a lot of elements of it being on the board, you would have been involved in already. So it's not all new, you know.
It's amazing to think that just a couple of years ago, you were just trying to build up the fan base, the community base and stuff like that. And now, as I said, you're dealing with plane hires to get you across Europe. It's just a crazy time for Bose, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's a good time. Obviously, you know, it's been well documented. What happened, it's now close to 10 years ago, was really awful. And it really, but you know, from things like that, from kind of difficult circumstances, you know, kind of clears the mind for people. And since then, we've been slowly building. You know, we've made a profit for the last 8 years in a row, which you know, is very unusual in League of Ireland terms, and it's very satisfying as a club, you know, to be in Europe, be where we are in the league, and to be improving all the time, and to be able to now looks like we can begin to compete with huge amounts of private money, and I think that's satisfying for the membership. It's satisfying for everyone involved with the club, and it's something that we need to continuously work on and ensure that we're able to compete, and we're slowly getting there.
It was all about trying to build a proper foundation for you guys, and as part of that, obviously, bringing the community closer to Dalymount Park.
Yeah, look, all football clubs, you know, irrespective of ownership structure or where they are in the country, like you're only as strong as you know, as the supports around you in your area, and you know, it's up to all clubs and the league. We really need to become, I've said this multiple times, just to be relevant. As far as I could see, you know, a number of years ago, a lot of clubs had become irrelevant to the areas they were in. They had a sole focus. It was about a team that played on a Friday to try and win trophies, and that's a vulnerable position to be in. It's a narrow set of aims, and it doesn't endear people to get involved with you, to be honest with you, bar your hardcore, you know, support. And you know, we've tried to broaden what we're about and with a whole multitude of things, and what it's meant really is that people in the local area, people in the local council, in national government, and you know, all the external stakeholders, and increasingly people internationally, want to help us, want to support us. And whether that's, you know, coming to games, buying merchandise, getting involved as a volunteer, getting involved in our youth teams, it lifts everything you do as a club, and it should be fundamental really to what every club is doing in the league.
And one of your massive things about this is obviously your charity links. We see the Refugees Welcome on the away jersey. 2 weeks ago you announced the charity link with Inner City Helping the Homeless with the women's team. That's been pivotal, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. And like, the way I look at that, I suppose, again, back to this idea of being relevant, like clubs have great identities. All clubs in the league have great histories, great identities, great stories. And, you know, I don't think clubs have been great at telling those stories. And when you're appealing to people, we all obviously have our proud local traditions, but local traditions only appeal to, you know, a local audience. And I suppose it's important to, as a club, you know, to look at what your values are. You know, and for us, you know, we've always been members owned. We're very progressive as a club and our establishment and what we're about, and to try and have values that are more universal, because universal values, of course, you know, they appeal to people far beyond your local, you know, your local area, the Dublin 7, the North Dublin, the Dublin Irish region. They appeal to people outside of that. And, you know, by doing things like this, you're doing something that raises, you know, raises publicity and awareness for issues that we feel are important, human rights issues and social issues, and they benefit everybody. Again, we know it's been great to link in with the likes of Amnesty and Inner City Helping the Homeless with Anthony Flynn, and to help raise money for them, to raise money for Massey, but also to have values that appeal to people outside of our normal audience.
Obviously, this was going to be a massive year for Bohemians. Your season tickets were up, your club membership were up. Unfortunately, we're in a situation where we are, COVID-19 takes over, but the Watch LOI stream, what's your opinion of that? I've seen that you're looking at the moment to try and get your game in Europe possibly streamed as well. Has that added something extra to your bow, as it were, as a club?
Look, the Watch LOI has been, it's been absolutely essential this season. You know, I think that, you know, credit to the FAI and the RTE for putting the package together. I think there's been a good reaction to it. But the bigger issue we have here, and clubs need to plan for this, is it's highly likely there'll be social distancing next year. And that presents a huge, a whole other raft of problems. How do you budget for next season for any club? For, you know, if you think of, say, Linfield on the island, it shouldn't impact upon them with a stadium of that size. They can probably bring their normal crowd. But for someone like ourselves, where you're hitting capacity anyway, you know, what comes in 2021 really needs, that discussion needs to start now. You know, if we're at 1 meter distance, and what does that mean for ourselves? You know, it has a big impact. I think people think you can get one in every second seat. It's more like one in every fifth seat at a 1 meter distance rule. So I think, you know, this season we've managed to put together a package with streaming that has sufficed, and it's enabled us to, you know, thankfully resume the league. But really, it's beyond this season where the real problems are going to lie, I think.
You're obviously on the marketing committee within the FAI and stuff like that, but you had an interesting podcast last week with the Scottish Football Marketing podcast. That seemed to go down well.
Yeah, the guys got on there. I've been doing some bits with UEFA in Eastern Europe around marketing, and the guys got on from the SSA. And I wasn't aware of that podcast. It's excellent. It's just it's done by the association there, and it just looks at different ways to market football. And you know, it's good to link in again. You know, as clubs and as a league, it's always good to link in with clubs and leagues outside of our own jurisdiction, find out how they do things. You know, we can all learn from each other. Everybody's essentially trying to do the same thing off the pitch. So, you know, the more people you speak to, the better it is for everyone.
Obviously, there was comments made by John Sheridan during the week, and I seen a quite witty comment by Matt Devaney yesterday. So, what exact type of pub do you reckon Bohemians are at the moment?
I'd say we're a pub with low light and a nice drink. Yeah, no, I saw Matt's tweet. That was great. Look, John's comments. Look, he made them. You know, I think everyone agrees he shouldn't have made them. You can say things during a game or during any heightened emotions that you maybe shouldn't have said. It would probably make most sense for him if he was to apologise for them. It seems nonsensical to take employment in a league and then knock it like that to me. So, you know, it's one that I think he probably regrets and he should probably acknowledge, but that's up to him.
A lot of people know you related to Bohemians and stuff like that over the last couple of years. But what about yourself? Tell us something about you we don't know. Bar sea swimming and music, because you seem to be fascinated with them.
Yeah, geez, in what sense? I don't know. Prior to this, as well, what's unusual is that in 2013, I worked for the Department of Foreign Affairs over in New York. I was like an advisor at the United Nations. So I was over there doing that while I was on the board of the club, trying to do it remotely. And I remember sitting in a UN meeting watching that season. We were struggling. We had a big game against Shells, and sitting in UN headquarters with an iPad on mute watching Bows and Shells on RTE. So there you go.
I hope you weren't claiming travel expenses for that one, were you?
No. Fortunately not, no.
So Matt, obviously European fixture to come up. It'll be great if you win through it and get a home fixture. It looks like you suggested a couple of weeks ago, it would be the Aviva if you do win through and get a home fixture. Is that right?
Yeah, and again, look, thanks to the FAI. You know, we have if we were to get through, we've kind of pre-booked the next date. Beyond that, you know, we'd need to re-enter negotiations with the people at the Aviva Stadium and with the FAI. It's very tricky. Look, for all the clubs, like one-legged game, obviously for the fans, first and foremost, like they're not getting to travel to Europe. It's been a long time since we've been there. And the restrictions are quite costly and onerous in terms of we've chartered a 200-seater plane for 46 people. You know, you need to travel and we need two coaches when you arrive. We need to ensure social distancing at all time in the hotel and serve our own food. And the UEFA protocols are very thorough and they are needed, to be fair, when you've got amount of teams travelling. So it's a very unusual Europe this year and it's just tricky for everybody. And, you know, I wish everyone well. I think it's, you know, we were unlucky, I think, with the three away draws. Rovers have got the home draw and, you know, fair play to them. So I think that hopefully we can see all teams progress. But for us, it's not easy. This Hungarian team are excellent. They have a lot of internationals. They're a big club and we're really up against it. I think they were the toughest team we really could have got there. But look, over one leg, anything can happen.
Exactly. And fingers crossed, Daniel, something does happen and Bowes win that game. And if they don't, I'm sure people can see you down the 40 foot on some Saturday afternoon or Saturday morning for a swim. Thanks for joining us, Daniel.
Cheers, thanks.
Well, lads, that's Daniel Lambert there from Bohemians. Johnny, what do you think about what they've done as a club over the last couple of years?
First of all, James, I have to say, Daniel Lambert spoke fantastically about Bohemians Football Club. He was very clear and concise. You know, his planning, they're planning ahead already for next season, you know, the European stuff. He's a guy that you'd want in and around your club. I was going to ask him what the atmosphere was like there, but he asked him all the questions, James, and like he's planning ahead for next year, you know, the whole lot. He's presuming that, you know, the crowds won't be in next year. And look, he's a guy that you'd want at your club. He spoke brilliantly about the club. It was all clear and concise about the culture of the club, everything relevant to the club, to the community. And having a guy like that on board is a fantastic, fast asset.
Yeah, John Caulfield, he's not one of a kind, is he? Every club has someone like Daniel in the club working on a volunteer basis. And they're the lifeblood of every League of Ireland club, realistically, aren't they?
Absolutely. It was great to hear Daniel there. And look at all the quality guys that you can get involved in our league, is the more the merrier. And, you know, all clubs have them. But, you know, it's driving and striving and trying to, you know, at the end of the day, we're a professional league and it's about business and it's about bringing money in and, you know, it's about being in the community and everything that Daniel said. But, you know, so it was refreshing just to hear him and the plans and, you know, the way Bohs are going, which is brilliant. And look, as I keep saying, you know, the frustrating thing in our league is that we have so many brilliant people, quality people, and, you know, you see the nonsense going on and still within the FAI. And, you know, I was reading their last couple of weeks articles there by Pat Dolan, and I met him maybe a couple of weeks ago, and I knew Pat would have been friendly with Niall Quinn at Arsenal, and I was saying, you know, has Niall been in contact with you? And he says I've never heard from him. And you're looking at Brian Kerr, and you're looking at, you know, real brilliant League of Ireland people who have so much to offer, who are managers, owners of clubs, CEOs of clubs, you know what I mean? And you know, can see where the potential in this league is. It could be enormous, you know, with an All Ireland league, if we get the proper European money with a new league that might happen in the next couple of years. You know, there's so much that very quickly could transform professional soccer in this country. And we just don't, you know, you've guys like Daniel Lambert out there doing brilliant work for Bohs and whatever, and so many good people. But also we have so many brilliant people not involved in our league, not even asked our opinion, you know what I mean? And, you know, our association in shambles, you know. So that's probably, I suppose, James, is the frustration for all, you know, passionate League of Ireland people, whether they're players, managers, ex-managers or supporters, is that, you know, that there's, you know, a brilliant unity amongst League of Ireland people. But still at the higher level, there's just, we don't seem to get the people aren't involved or aren't brought in, you know, at the top level to drive the thing on. And that's probably, you know, the most frustrating thing. But look, it's great to listen to Daniel Lambert there. And it's great, you know, hearing from a guy like him and listening to him speak, and, you know, brilliant.
Yeah, that's all excellent. Now, we are quickly running out of time, so I'll run through the First Division results from last weekend. It was Athlone Town 3, Drogheda United 3. Ronan Manning with 2 goals for Athlone, Lee Duffy with the other, while Scott Delaney scored a penno, and Brandon Birmingham and Chris Lyons in the 84th minute for Drogheda United. Bray Wanderers 2, UCD 0, and that was Darragh Lynch with 2 goals on the 15th minute and 73rd. Cabin Teely kept their impressive run going with Shane Barnes scoring in the 75th minute, and Pierce Williams red carded just towards the end there for Cove. Longford Town won away 1-0 to Galway United. Aaron McCabe with a goal in the 82nd minute, and Adrian did this a couple of weeks ago, so I'm going to take this slow myself. Shamrock Rovers 2-2, Wexford Utes 0. That was Shamrock Rovers 2's first win since they come into the league. 2 goals in the first half of them, but Cabo back to winning ways, which sees them still on top on 16 points, followed closely by Longford Town on 13, Drogheda United 11, Bray on 10, and UCD following them up on 8. Meanwhile, in the Women's National League, week 2 of that got underway with Athlone Town with their first ever game, pushing Wexford Utes, last year's cup holders, very, very close, and Aisling Frawley goal in the 72nd minute give Wexford Utes the win there. Bohemians 1, Galway 4, another goal there. Brona Kane scoring for Bowes in the first half alongside Aoife Thompson scoring in 52-89, Shauna Fox in 63, and Ellie Rose of Flaherty scoring on 70 minutes. The keeper was sent off there also in the first half for Bohemians. Meanwhile, it was Cork City 0, Peamount 3. Steph Roach getting another one, so did Anya Gorman and Eleanor Ryan Doyle finishing off the scoring as well. They were quite early goals, in fairness. Eleanor Doyle's coming in the 12th minute. And finally, DLR Waves 1, Shelburne 2. The old Shelburne veteran, we call her at this stage, Pearl Slattery scoring in the 90th plus 4 minutes. So right at the death to win the game there. That's only two games in at the moment in the Women's National League. It's almost time for me to say goodbye. I think the professionals and the grown adults will be back next week in charge here in the seat. I can only say thanks very much for Johnny Mack and John Caulfield for looking after me. And you can get this podcast wherever you get your podcast, be it SoundCloud, iTunes, or anywhere really, Spotify. Thanks to John Farrell as a producer. Until next week, bye-bye.